like to thank everyone for coming this evening. If it's your first time, we want you to feel welcome. And we're going to be reading from the Bible, God's Word. And I want to read one verse, please, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 29. If you don't have a Bible, please don't be embarrassed. I'll be reading this verse out loud so you can follow along. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now that verse is found in this book. And this book is the Bible. This book has 66 books in it. So it is one book made up of 66 different books. And it has been written by over 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. But we believe, as Scripture tells us, that all Scripture is inspired by God. So every word that we read from the Bible, we believe is inspired by God, and it is God's message for us. So every time you open this book, I want you to be aware that God, the God of heaven, is interested to speak to you and to teach you something new. This verse is a verse that we find in the New Testament. The Bible is divided into two sections. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has got 39 books, and these were written before the Lord Jesus came to earth. So it's before the Lord Jesus was on earth. The New Testament is 27 books, and these were written when the Lord Jesus was on earth and after the Lord Jesus was on earth. So the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this verse is written at the time the Lord Jesus was here on earth. These words were spoken by a man called John. And the Bible tells us that John had been sent from God. He had been sent with a specific job of speaking to people about the coming of someone who was so special and so great. And it was his job to prepare the way for the Lord. To prepare the way for the coming of someone special. Someone who was described as a Messiah. Someone who was described as a Savior. And John's job from God, his mission, was to show people who this special person was. And one day, John is standing at the side of the River Jordan, and he sees someone walking on the riverbank, and he stops, and he catches everyone's attention around him, and he says, Behold, look, stop and look. And what was his message when he had caught everyone's attention? His message was this. The Lamb of God. John, at this moment in history, was announcing the arrival of this special person who had come from heaven. This indeed was the Son of God. This was the Lord Jesus Christ. And John sees him and recognizes him and realizes this was the moment for which he had been commissioned by God. And he points to the Lord Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, to you and I, this may sound strange. Perhaps you and I would expect him to say, "Behold the Son of God," or "Behold the Messiah," or "Behold the Savior of the world." That's what we would expect him to say. But he uses a strange title. He describes the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. To you and I, this is strange. And we have to go back to the first half of our Bible, the Old Testament, to understand this title, the Lamb of God. You know, God doesn't want to hide things from us. When you read God's word, God wants you to understand what you're reading. He wants you to know how to have a relationship with him and how to get right with him. And so the Bible is full of pictures. God's word is full of things that we know. So sometimes the word of God is described as a seed. You know what a seed is. You know that if you plant a seed, it comes to life and brings forth a plant. So God's word is like a seed. And what God wants is that when the seed lands on your heart, that it would grow like a plant. That there would be life from reading the word of God. That's one picture that the Bible uses, that God uses to try and share with us truth. The Lord Jesus once described himself as the bread of life. We know what bread is. Bread gives us strength. Bread sustains us. Bread gives us life. We need food to eat. And so when the Lord Jesus describes himself as the bread of life, he is describing himself as the one person that we need for our life. But there's another word that is used in the Bible, or lessons that are used in the Bible, and that's in relation to animals. Sheep and lambs. Like, I'm not a farmer, but I know what a sheep is, and I know what a lamb is. The Bible, the Old Testament, is full of references of sheep and lambs. And that is because people at the time looked after sheep. It was one of the main jobs that people had. They were shepherds and they had sheep. So when the Bible speaks about sheep and speaks about lambs, people would understand. They would be able to make connections with their life and with their animals. I don't know if anyone here has any sheep or lambs, but there's people here who may have pets. You may have a cat or a dog. That is an animal that you care for, that you love, that you have a relationship with. It was the same at the time for the people in the Old Testament. They loved their animals. They cared for their animals. They spent their whole day looking after their animals. And the Bible talks about sheep. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about sheep, and it's found in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Listen to the words of the Bible. God wants to share some truth with you. This is the word from the Bible about sheep. God says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. God is describing us, you and I, like a sheep. And what God is saying is, like a sheep, we have gone astray. We have got lost. We have left the shepherd. We have left the sheep. And we have gone our own way. We have taken a path away from God on our own. God is trying to teach us something here. And he's using sheep and as an example. When people in the Old Testament heard those words, it would make perfect sense to them. They would think of their sheep that got lost, and they would say, well, that sheep is in great danger. That sheep may die alone. There's wolves out there, there's lions out there, there's things that will easily take it. That sheep is helpless on its own. I need to go and find it. I need to go and save it. So when the Bible describes us as sheep, the lesson for us is this: that we, like sheep, have gone far away from God in our sin. The Bible says we have turned everyone to his own way. This is a willful thing. Before God, we are sinners. And our natural tendency as sinners is to stray away from God. We want to go away from God and find our own pasture and find our own way. And God is trying to teach us that we are like sheep that are lost. And we are far away from him in our sins. And we are in a place of danger. And when God's word said, all we like sheep have gone astray, the people who were listening to those words knew exactly what God was trying to say. I wonder if you realize that before God, you have drifted far away. Like a sheep. And being far away from God, we are in danger of perishing in our sins. Like a sheep, we have no fangs. We have no sharp claws. We have no way of defending ourselves from the enemy. We are helpless and hopeless, far away from God. And when God says we are like sheep, he wants to teach us of our condition before him as sinners. We are lost. When you go for a walk roundabout, you'll see signs up different times. Lost cat. Please call this number. Lost dog. This is what it looks like. Please call this number. The owners are worried that the animals are lost. My friend, God is worried that you as a sheep are lost. He knows how vulnerable you are in your sins. He knows how far away you are from him in your sins. And God wants you to know that, my friend, tonight. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's the first lesson, and that's about straying sheep. And that is our condition before God as sinners. But there's another, more important lesson that God wants to teach us from the Bible. And that is a lesson that he uses lambs. There's a verse in the Bible that speaks about lambs in Leviticus in chapter 4. And this is what the Word of God says about lambs. It says, if he bring a lamb for a sin offering. This is what happened in the Old Testament. If a person broke God's law and they sinned against God, when they realized that they had sinned, do you know what they had to do? They had to go to their animals, to their flock, and they had to pick one of the lambs. Bear in mind that they knew their animals. They knew them by name. They loved them. They cared for them. They had to pick one of those animals, and they had to take this animal to the tabernacle or to the temple. And they had to put their hands on this animal that they loved and cared for. And they had to confess their sin that they had committed against God. And this animal would then be killed. I want you to understand what this meant for those people at that time. They had done something wrong against God, and they were required to choose one of their animals that they loved and take it and watch it be killed because of something they had done. How do you think they felt on that day when they brought that sacrifice? Think about an animal that you love being sacrificed for your sin. That was to teach them, firstly, the seriousness of sin. As they watched that poor animal die for something that they had done, they would recognize the seriousness of their sin before God. That's the first lesson that God wanted to teach them. The seriousness of their sin. My dear friend, we go through life sinning every day. All of us do. But I want you to take a moment right tonight in this building to recognize that before a holy God, our sin is desperately, desperately serious. We talk about white lies. We talk about little sins. We minimize our sin every day in the language that we use to describe it. But before God, our sin is serious. And the lamb was used to teach people about the seriousness of their sin. A sacrifice was required. A lamb was slain. Blood was shed because of sin that they had committed. A sacrifice was required when a sin had been committed. It was the seriousness of sin, but also the need for a sacrifice. This was the lessons that God wanted to teach these people using a lamb. The slain lamb would speak to them of the seriousness of their sin and the need for sacrifice for sin. You know, God cannot ignore our sin. God cannot take your sin and my sin and just sweep it under the carpet. He can't. He is a holy, righteous God. It would be against his character to just ignore and overlook our sin. Sin must be dealt with. And sin must be dealt with by a sacrifice of a slain lamb and by blood being shed. And this was the lesson that God wanted to teach his people, that when sin is committed, a sacrifice has to be made and blood has to be shed. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. It is by blood that atonement is made for the soul. There's another lesson. We've thought of the lesson of straying sheep. That reminds us that we're sinners before God. We've thought of the slain lamb, the seriousness of sin, and a sacrifice required. But there's another verse in the Bible that speaks of a man called Abraham and his son called Isaac. And God asked Abraham one day to take his son, it was a test of his faith, to take his son and to sacrifice him to God on the altar. You say, that is a strange thing to ask. But Abraham, trusting in God and believing in God, went up the mountain with his son. His son was carrying the wood. And his son looks around and he says, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb that is going to be a sacrifice on the altar? Do you know what Abraham said to his son? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. God is going to provide the sacrifice, a lamb. And he took his son up to the altar and he binds his son up, he ties him up, and he's about to offer him on the altar, and God stops him. Just as he's about to put the knife down, God stops him. And a ram is provided for a sacrifice. What God is teaching us here is not just about a slain lamb, but about a supplied lamb. God is going to be the provider of the sacrifice. This is a lesson for us to learn. If a sacrifice is required for you and I to be forgiven, for the price to be paid for our redemption, if a sacrifice is required, where is it going to come from? Can you provide the sacrifice to God for your sin? Can I pay God for all the sins that I have done? Can I do some good work to get right with God? No, we've just been learning it is impossible to get right with God by our good works. If I can't provide a sacrifice and you can't provide a sacrifice, God is going to have to provide the sacrifice. And the whole of the Old Testament can be summarized with these words: where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? The sacrifice that we all need for our sins. The sacrifice that God, in his love and care, has promised for us. Where is the lamb? We come to John chapter 1 and verse 27, and we find the lamb. John says, behold the lamb. We've been thinking about the slain lamb. This is the Lamb. This is the one who had come to be the sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus had come to be the Savior, and he would do so by going to a cross and becoming the sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, is the slain Lamb. What about the supplied lamb? Where is the lamb going to come from? John says, behold the Lamb of God. This is going to be the one provided by God for you and I. Out of love and care and compassion, God sent forth his Son to be a Savior and to go to a cross and to die for our sins on the cross. My friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went there to become a sacrifice for sin. All the lambs in the Old Testament were but a picture of the Lamb of God that would come. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one sacrifice for sins forever. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And this verse tells us, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Why is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ so important? It is because he became the sacrifice for sin. It is because on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin. He paid the price for our redemption in the shedding of his precious blood. He is the slain lamb. He is the supplied lamb, the Lamb of God. And he is the sin-bearing lamb. He is the one who takes away the sin of the world. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our redemption. 1 Peter says, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." My friend, God has loved you so much that he has provided a sacrifice for your sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God. He went to a cross and he died for your sins. And there's nothing that you and I need to do to be saved other than trust the one who died on the cross for our sins. Someone cries out, "What must I do to be saved? How can I be forgiven? How can I get right with God?" And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything at the cross of Calvary for you to be saved. And it is only for you and I to come as guilty sinners and accept him as our Savior and Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father.